Think you did a great job.
Well, thank you.
I just
We're pretty alive, sure, nephew.
Oh no, that was your brother-in-law.
Oh, he came in whispering, "How cute!"
Yeah, that was your brother-in-law.
Pretty sure only Mountain Gypsy saw my video, but you know what? Whatever.
Yeah. I loved it. Like I loved
hi.
Oh, hi.
Woo! We're here.
We're just gonna shoot the shit for a second because we're gonna wait for, you know, people to show up and stuff.
Then soon did we start getting emails when it tells us we're live.
Because we're not because of the lag. You're so smart, Mountain Gypsy, I swear.
I was like, when did we start getting those messages?
So, since people are still piling in, if you're watching this, don't forget to like, subscribe.
or not, whatever.
Like, subscribe, follow our socials. All of that will eventually be down below. Our books are on Amazon. We have stuff on Patreon, finally.
We've had stuff on Patreon. We're just having it on there.
We have new stuff
now.
On Patreon.
And more consistently now.
Yeah. We have new and mostly consistent shit on Patreon now.
Mostly consistent, yes.
Consistent-ish.
Hello, sugar sweets.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with you, but hi.
Hello. So what are we talking about today?
That's my homie. I know who she is.
Oh, okay. Well,
she left the store. I have a bone to pick with
her. Hi, homie.
I have a bone to pick with her later because she's not down at my corner store anymore.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Anywho.
She left me.
Who wants to introduce our topic?
Yes. Our topic today. Oh, go ahead, Jason.
Either one.
Nope,
so
you go for it.
UPG versus VPG or SPG, which is UPG is unverified personal gnosis, VPG verified personal gnosis. I'm not sure what the SPG stands for, but I know it's the same
shared.
Thing.
Verified. Shared. The SVG is shared unverified personal gnosis. So that one's
PG
a little 14 trickier.
PG-14 means everybody can watch it.
The SVG we'll get into last because that one gets a little bit more muddy, a little bit trickier.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So
does everybody at the table know what the differences are?
Yes.
Yep.
Before we get into it and start debating.
Yes-ish
or
and
ranting.
No-ish. Does that make sense?
Well, yes-ish and no-ish? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Well, unverified personal gnosis, that's receiving information about ancestors, deities, or even about certain aspects of practice or magic just strictly through gnosis, but it doesn't have to necessarily be backed up or verified by an existing source, correct? And then
yeah, go ahead.
and then verified is where it is.
Yeah, so basically you're talking about stuff that can be backed up by literature, by historical records, documentation. The expected or known teachings that have been recorded through history is the verified personal gnosis, and then the unverified is like what Jason was talking about. It's like it's not necessarily, in fact, it's often not necessarily supported by literature, historical literature, historical documentation, records, and such. It's something that you've achieved through your own personal gnosis, whether it be through meditation or astral travel or some methodology that you have personally received messages and have that personal understanding. Mm-hmm. Where the shared gets a little tricky is the shared refers to shared unverified personal gnosis.
Oh, okay. So it's like where two people receive the same information.
Yeah. Two or more, and that's where it becomes tricky, because it's like, at what point then does it become verified? You know, like what number does it become verified? Does it have more, is it more legitimate because more than one person believes the same thing and feels like they're getting the same message? You know, that's where it becomes a little bit more, you know, grayer, I guess you could say.
I guess it kind of determines on what you consider quote unquote proof. But
yes, exactly.
As far as the shared personal gnosis thing too, from what I've gathered, it kind of seems like when they're saying shared personal gnosis, it's like more than one person has this knowledge, but they aren't necessarily involved. Like they don't know each other. They were separate instances with separate people, not the same time, place, or people. So my question with that is, because I'm not used to like these titles. I just call everything my own experiences. I don't get fancy with the titles. So
before you say go on, let me just say that there is a reason why we differentiate between the two, but we'll get into that in a second. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm probably about to ask you why, but but like, for example, I had an experience that I talked to you guys about in private, Jason, I think this was before you were around, where something very metaphysical happened to me and I was with two friends. So does that count as a shared personal gnosis based on what we know now can actually happen that day? Or is it a personal gnosis because each of us experienced it at the same time together at the same place?
You know, I mean, technically it would be shared, you know, especially if it's a belief that you carry on and share together, generally.
Because all three of us had very different reactions to the situation, but we all can reiterate it in the same way.
Well, like
the same play-by-play of as to what happened. And actually,
that's a good question. That's a good question, because really when you talk about something that's SPG, shared personal gnosis, it's not just the same experience, but it's coming to the same conclusion. So the ideal example.
So I guess that would be personal then, huh?
The ideal example would be Thersetru. Okay. So I did a video on Thersetru, which is one of the heathen traditions. That is probably one of the newest traditions. It's only been around for
20 or 30 years.
No, 10.
Oh, there you go.
10 years. And when you look at their writings, and when you look at the quote unquote values and things that you're expected to do, it came about because of a group of people who felt that they had these shared experiences, and therefore the truth, quote unquote, of Thersetru is not just one person's truth. It is a shared group of people that had experienced that truth. And so the teachings that they provide, they say, to experience the truth that we experienced, these are the things that you need to do, because this is what we did to experience that truth. So it's shared amongst a finite number of people, enough number of people that it has grown into a movement, and a religion of its own that's been around now for over a decade.
So right? is that whole practice based on like shared personal gnosis and reconstructionism, or
not reconstructionism? Oh.
Okay, so it's just that, completely from scratch, new.
It's based on it's based on the core information of the Eddas.
Yeah.
With shared personal gnosis shared amongst a finite number of people based on the quote unquote truth of those of the Eddas.
Yeah, they actually use a very lot of historical points.
Yes.
Could the shared unverified gnosis can that also be iterated into how many people perceive the gift of magic as being? Because I see that a lot within like multi-generational witch families about like the gift of magic and the power of the witch, but there's really no like actual documentation on.
Yeah, I think that's another great example. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
How it's iterated.
But you see how it gets way more muddier when you talk about that, you know, because again, and the reason being that people do categorize it to Hestia's, I guess, question. It's not, she didn't really pose a question, but it's not that because you have to, you know, that people want to label things. It's not about slapping the label on. It's because it's really become more prominent to recognize where information is coming from, especially in the last decade, 10, 15 years, because of how much the occult world and spirituality has exploded. You know, I'm not even going to say a trend. Yes, some of it is you know, trend, but it's just exploded just in general. And that
I think that's something that we don't always mention too. It's like, yeah, it's trendy, but there's a lot of legit people popping up too.
Yeah.
But it becomes droves. Important. It becomes important to understand that there are a lot of people out there who will share with you and call it education and communicate it as fact when it really is unverified personal gnosis. So the difference is that nobody is saying that it is wrong. The difference is for you to truly grow and learn as your own individual practitioner, you need to understand the source of the information. If somebody is sharing with you unverified UPG, unverified personal gnosis, fine, listen to it. But if you're going to walk away thinking that that is truth, or if it's going to be communicated to you as that is the universal truth, that's where problems arise.
And that's where we've seen a lot of problems. That's actually where we've seen a lot, especially on Amino. I think that's one of the things I saw a lot when I first started. I was like, okay, but that's your point of view. That is your way. But you've got a bunch of new people coming in all like, oh, that's set in stone. It's throughout history. It's the book.
Right. It's like people don't understand the difference between fact and theory.
Exactly.
Yeah. And honestly, it's not even theory. If you want to be totally technical, we're talking about fact and hypothesis. Because remember, a theory is something that simply can't be proved. It's a hypothesis that can't be proven wrong.
Exactly.
It hasn't been proven right yet, but it hasn't been proven wrong. So some of it, we're not even at theory yet, technically. Some of it is literally just hypothesis.
This is where you have to remember your science class.
But the point being is that, you know, this is why people have included this terminology in discussions, because it helps to, you know, to communicate to people about, and we've, it's nothing. This is nothing new. We've said this from the first episode that we ever did, you know, about doing your research, but understanding where you're getting your research and cost referencing. But I don't think we ever really talked in depth about why. And that's what this episode is.
Exactly.
Is the why.
And see, another thing too that I find odd about the people who come in and give their own personal gnosis, unverified, and they don't throw that in, like, to let you know that. To me, that's weird, because it's like, let's say you experience something and you want to share that, and other people read it and they're like, hey, you're onto something. Don't you want the credit for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, we all would, especially when someone was like, you know, ran with it afterwards.
So I'm still here. I just stopped my video because I'm eating and I want you guys to see me eat.
Why not? Everybody sees me eat all the time because I'm a little piglet.
But I think that what's really, you know, and you guys bring up a good point. What a lot of people forget is, and I've said this a few times. I don't know if I've said it as much as on our show as I just say it just in general, which is that, you know, language exists for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Language literally came about for humanity so that we can communicate with each other.
Exactly.
And so when, so one of the things that I see before we even get to whole concepts, one of the things that I see is people throwing words around, and then these, you know, 10 minute, 15 minute long arguments on social media or debate, and 15 minutes later, you know, the person finally jumps in and says, well, that's how I define that word. Well, could you open up with that? Because, you know, generally speaking, when somebody's going to talk and you use a word that is part of the English language, because we're all speaking English here, then generally speaking, the person is going to continue that conversation based on the Webster Dictionary
right.
definition of what that word is.
Yeah.
So if you're going to redefine it, then please open with that so that we can actually communicate.
Yeah, because I know when we're all talking to people, we like to tell people at the get-go, okay, this is my personal view, way, point, or way of doing things. And then we'll go on with what it is. And then, of course, you always have that random ass person that's still arguing about it. But it's like, I've already told you it was my personal point. Not that it's like set in stone. I found it in the freaking, you know, book from 100 and some years ago.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's what annoys me the most. Because I've seen Jason have this argument with people. Then he's like, well, this is how my family's personal experience is.
Right, exactly. And I make that a point too, to say, like, I'm not at all saying that I'm right. You know, this is I'm not saying that this is the truth. This is just my truth.
Exactly. That's just how it rolls, you know? And like Hestia has told people, you know, well, this is my practice. This is how I work. Bella the same. And then you've got these people who will just go jump on the train and be all, they'll say everything. And then someone will start arguing, and then they'll throw in the fact that it was their personal.
But let me throw in a little bit.
That's
of a wrench.
Annoying.
Right. Let me throw in a little bit of a wrench there too. The part that I get disturbed about is that when people use that phrase, well, everybody practices differently, as the carte blanche response to everything, because, you know, again, you're dummying it down, you're oversimplifying, you're overgeneralizing, because there is a difference between everybody practices differently, and again, going back to VPG, what is historical and what is in the literature. So if we're going to have a conversation and somebody is talking about what is verified and you're going to disagree with that and say, well, everybody practices differently, my practice is, that's still valid. Nobody's saying that it's invalid, but then you can't invalidate
what's
something
verified.
That's been verified or that is historical.
That's another thing we see all the time, people trying to you know, the take away from something that already is verified. Like, you know, they'll pull things out of other things, but they'll, but like, this isn't fact. I was like, okay, it's in like 30 different books and historical accuracy. Why are you right. trying to do that?
Exactly.
But
exactly.
even going back to, and the reason why I opened up with just definitions of words, even going back to that, I have had people throw that in my face, say, well, that's not how I define that word. And everybody practices differently. And my response is always, that's not a problem. Great. Thank you for telling me. Wish you would have opened up with that. Right. But this is the Oxford Dictionary definition of it. And so you cannot deny that that is the case.
Exactly. So
your new definition is not going to show up in Webster anytime soon.
Right. Do you know what I call that? Do you know what I call that, Bella, when people do that?
What?
They're being aggressively wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you hear that? Here's the
you're
thing, though,
really feisty about that wrong answer you're given there, ma'am.
But, and here's the funny part, is that I'm not even telling them that they're wrong. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's your thing. But since we're having this conversation in public and other people are watching, I'm going to continue to use the dictionary definition.
Right.
And if I need to clarify, this is the dictionary definition, I'll be happy to do that. But then I'd really like for you to also clarify, this is my personal interpretation of this word, so that those who are watching and listening can make their own decisions. Because I don't think either one of us, I don't know, I could be wrong, maybe you are, dear sir, who I'm talking to, I don't think either one of us are really trying to aspire to be cult leaders. We're just trying to impart information.
Just exactly.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's annoying because, like, going to the talking about words and meanings, like, I guess I get really flustered because, you know, certain words mean certain things to people, but they also, you know, the whole language thing these days, something that we grew up with meant one thing and now it means something totally fucking different.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what does that have to do with that? That's cool.
Well, and that's a really great point.
And that's really common too. Like words, that's well documented in history too. Words and their meanings always change. Yeah. Language is consistently evolving. It's never not evolving.
Yeah. I guess
so sometimes that word will mean something completely different 10 years from now or 20 years from now, more or less hundreds of years later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've gotten to that point where I'm confused when people speak and say certain things because back in my day, you know, when this word totally meant something different, now they're using it in a different way. So it's hard for me to actually communicate with younger people. Like, I have to ask my own kids, what the hell did you just say? You know, for me to understand.
Even that one thing that Jason was talking about that one time, I think it was on a Patreon exclusive video that we put in about some kid coming up to you about, like,
oh yeah,
and he used this huge word that was like, what?
Oh yeah, I was in a Michael's and I was in the paint aisle and he comes by, he's like, I like your drip. I was like, there's a drip where?
I'm dripping. Yes, exactly. Like, I don't get it. So I have to, like, ask my new, you know, my children to update me on the lingo so I can communicate with somebody and understand what they're thinking that word means.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Also, I hope they know that drip is not new lingo either, and it meant the same shit 20 years ago as it does now.
I never.
But it may have just relocated to another region, like, because we see that a lot too. Of lingo that used to be maybe 10, 20 years ago specific to a region, and now it's kind of expanded to more universal. Yeah.
Like, peckish. Like, I'm feeling peckish. Like, that was a British term for hungry. But now it's like,
and see, I didn't realize that because the two friends that I grew up with, Christy and Julie, you know, Julie was from Scotland. And so I had been using that word since I was like 14, because that's when I knew her. And I didn't realize, to your point, you know, everybody would be like, what is that? I'm like, it means you're hungry.
Right.
Okay, at least my favorite phrase has never changed. I have been saying cool beans since I was like 8 years old, and it still means the same.
Same, same.
I mean, so I still use the word pantaloons, so I think I would this battle.
Right? Like,
I love that.
Well, wait a minute. I say the bee's knees.
See? And
I still think pantaloons wins. Pantaloons right. is yes. easily the so oldest too. One.
She texts us when we tell her she's got a package, and she's like, let me put my pantaloons on and go get the package.
Oh, yeah. When I say that, I'm not joking or exaggerating. Like, that's everyday lingo for me. I say pantaloons and I say britches.
Yes.
We have britches. Britches is not that old. No. We're going to have to one up her.
It's just a grandma word.
We're going to have to one up her. Next time, no, I'm going to say my chastity belt.
My bloomer.
Oh. My iron chastity belt.
My girdle.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go get my bloomers on.
But like so, I'm just bitching anyways, anymore.
I think I love the word bitching. On a wild, wild tangent there.
We did and we didn't. And that, but see, and that is, again, kind of the point why I thought that this would be a really interesting conversation to have, because part of that has to do with things that I think the average human takes for granted. And it's not a bad thing or a good thing. It just is. We take for granted things like language and what things mean,
right.
Especially in the 21st century and in this day and age, where words and meanings are changing much more frequently, especially with texting. And but the thing is, you know, we walk a life that is all about research and education and knowledge. And so if we're going to talk to each other, we have to stop taking some of that stuff for granted. Otherwise, we're going to continue to misunderstand and misinterpret.
Right, right.
Yeah, dude. And that's a really crappy thing, because we're trying to educate, we're trying to learn from each other, but we're always got so many different miscommunications, and it causes that headbutt, or that, as Hestia just said, that aggressive anger.
Exactly. But like what happened to chivalry? Because like I always kind of viewed that as like, you know, respect other people's opinions, theories, practices, even if you don't agree with it, like still respect it. But it's like people don't do that. Like they want to like, and it reminds me of like if you tell someone 2 + 2 = 4 and they want to go, no, it's not, it's 6.
Or, but you know what, Jason, even that. Part of the reason, me personally, at least from what I have observed, is that part of the reason that we don't do that is because, again, I have to keep going back to that, you know, the first example of if you're not speaking the same language, you know, then how do you even know to respect somebody else's, you know, when you're thinking like they're, when you guys are now already speaking using two different words, it's like for us to get to that place where we can respect each other, we have to acknowledge the basics. And we've gotten to a point in our society where we take so much, too much for granted, that we've locked ourselves into this place that causes confusion and causes us to get at each other's throats simply because we're not understanding each other. And, you know, the irony is that the internet was supposed to bring everybody together, and it's for little menial things like this that it's actually splitting us apart even further.
Right. Well, but it's like I don't think that issue is really present within like true practitioners, true witches. Cause like, I feel like, you know, even with us, it's like we agree on all the same stuff. Like, I don't think we've ever had any like arguments of like anything really.
Absolutely.
No, exactly.
But you know, and you guys have all, I think all of you have already mentioned it at least once just in this short time, is that I think, you know, we tend to open up and start off our sentence by saying, this is my personal belief. This is what I think, this is how I see this.
And if we don't really,
not everybody really does that.
No, and if we really don't understand, we, like, especially the four of us, we'll ask questions so we can learn and understand more. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I mean, like, okay, this is a total mundane kind of point. Like, so you guys' nephew has been having an argument online with a bunch of kids because apparently there's a group of children that believe that the Roman Empire never existed.
I've seen that.
Yes.
That's I've seen that on social media. Yes. Absolutely.
Apparently it's a big thing lately, and a bunch of people are believing that the Roman Empire never freaking existed. So, you know, Marcus.
There's also a big thing that Australia doesn't exist and Finland doesn't exist.
Yes.
The whole Nazi thing never happened.
Yes.
So there was a
here's the thing that scares me about that is once you forget your history, a lot of things can start to go wrong on everything
exactly.
On a massive scale, like on a global scale. So
and this is why I keep beating a dead horse and keep bringing up the Satanic Panic, because we have a horrible, us as a human race, just in general, we forget our history. And here's the sad thing, is that the things that we just brought up, you know, these are things that are part of our long-term history, well-documented, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
The Satanic Panic is recent history. These are things that you still have people who are literally alive and well that have experienced it and were not in wheelchairs.
Y'all were, yeah.
And yeah, and it's already forgotten. It's already downplayed.
Yep.
So we're
that's frustrating to people like me because I was too young to remember it, but I remember it. Like I know it happened.
But I think, you know, as a society, that's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. But I want to go back to unverified personal gnosis. So that there's a number of people that take that in and of itself and dummy it down a little bit and say that if it's UPG, it's automatically off the table. That's not necessarily the case.
Exactly.
Number one, you know, to all your points, you know, it's respect of somebody else's personal beliefs. But number two, UPG is how a lot of things start.
Exactly.
I was just about to ask, how do you get to verified or shared if you never have unverified personal?
Right.
If
and
you've
and
never
also
experienced exactly. something, how can you compare it with other people's experiences?
And think about all the information that went undocumented. So
exactly.
We have like, so much.
And like there's even like several practices too, like witching practices, who they don't keep any kind of record or anything. Everything is passed down strictly by like word of mouth.
Yep.
So
you know, to automatically poo-poo something because it's UPG, you know, is not necessarily, you know, the appropriate thing to do either. The point for me personally that I am trying to make and always try to make is that it's important when we communicate with each other, especially when somebody is trying to learn, that you communicate and be very clear that it's UPG. And you allow that person to go through whatever process they need to go through to either agree with you, disagree with you, partially agree with you, but to just come at them and say, this is how it is, does not only, you know, are you miscommunicating, you're also doing that person a disservice. That's rude.
Right, exactly.
Unless you are wanting to be a cult leader.
Exactly. Right. And don't be rude.
You want everybody to believe what you believe.
Exactly.
And don't be rude when someone is trying to learn and figure something out. Mm-hmm. What if it's the next thing that's in a history book?
Right.
You just messed that person's whole little world and brain up.
Right,
and see,
exactly.
To that point, another thing too is anytime you look back on anything historical, all of those people had people saying that they were wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, there is literally nothing you can say, do, think, feel that 100% of the Earth's population is going to agree with you. Those things just don't happen.
Right.
There's too many people with opposing views.
Like there are still people out there who still think the Earth is flat. and that like you can fall off, and that you could fall off if you go too far out in the ocean. You could like fall off the earth.
Everything else is round, but this one.
Right.
Not anymore. the earth is flat theory has evolved. You know, you don't fall off. What you do is you run into the Arctic wall.
Oh, so we're just surrounded by a whole wall of ice?
Yes. There are some people who still think that like you can fall off though. Like,
well, yeah, that's true. but if we're going down a rabbit hole with this one.
Right.
But good to know that we're wrapped around a wall of ice.
But the other thing too is that, you know, we're not just at least I'm not just talking about communicating UPG to another person. I mean, you know, when you have something that is a unique experience or belief of yourself for yourself, you know that's also something to not take for granted. You know, there's a reason why you are feeling something different or believing something different from other people, and you know that should be a signal to start exploring that deep diving. Why is that the case? What can you learn about yourself from that?
Right, exactly. And going back to like the VPG, what is considered verified or verifiable information, or like how do you know information is verified, like if it's documented somewhere, or
people
does
are going to argue about that too.
Exactly. Right. And that's another reason why, you know, I think this is a good conversation, because VPG is, again, surface value or on the surface. Oh, that's easy. You know, it's in history books. Okay. Right. Well,
but then you have people who on Facebook, it said it's true.
But no, and to me, that I don't necessarily consider that, you know, VPG, but you know,
right.
Going down the line of it's written in history books, you know, the common phrase, history is written by the winners, you know.
And I have to interject this every time somebody says that, because that's not true. History is written down by people who write it down, because there are opposing accounts of history.
That is true.
You just don't, just depending on where you live and what's allowed to be taught, that's gonna severely screen what you know of history, which is why you need to be reading more than the books that are shoved in your face. You got to read other books too.
Exactly. You have to cross
that, because that is a very common thing. I hear that all the time. History is written by the victors, but that's not true. Yeah. There is like Native American
I think that books, I actually think American that history. That is more true with religions.
But see, it's weird, because if you think about it, those of us, all of us up here, grew up on the western side of the states, and now I moved up here to, you know, the eastern and southern part, and what they learned, like what my husband and his family learned in schools, is absolutely different from you, me, Hestia, and Jason.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that we learned that they didn't, or in more different aspects and points of view, especially when it comes to history versus what they learned, what we learned. Like, they learned stuff, and I'm like, I didn't learn that, or they didn't tell me that.
Exactly.
And then vice versa with him. He's like, well, we didn't learn to talk about that in school.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to where, you know, when we talk about researching, it's truly the core definition of what research is. It's not just looking up one book. It's not just looking up, you know, one piece of literature. It really is literally looking at all of it, or as much as you can, from different authors, from different perspectives, from different cultures.
Exactly.
And coming up to your own conclusion about
piecing it all together for yourself.
Exactly. And like finding those similarities and differences and seeing how they compare and contrast, kind of finding those common threads between all of them. But going back to what I was saying about like the VPG, is like, what would some people consider to be verified?
One of our guests. Sorry. This is one of our guests.
Oh.
Yes.
Nikki. Because like for me, a verified source would be, it definitely wouldn't be like, what's that one alleged author on Amazon? Mary
Silva.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that name exactly. Gives me a migraine.
Right.
Tell us how you really feel about her, Hestia.
So it's like, because like, the bullshit that's being produced there is like, just because it's in print, I wonder if some people might consider that to be verified just because it's in print. Or
exactly. And
absolutely. We see it all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should see the reviews on the book. They act like end all books.
Right.
And they keep putting out more. And I think it bothers me because they touch on topics that are near and dear to me. And that
right.
Like a very, very like, massive part of my path and my practice and what I do. Mm-hmm. So like that person gets on my nerves. Like
that person gets on my nerves too.
That
like
fake person.
Yes, I want to write them a very angry letter.
I don't think it's a person. Like, I think it's just a publisher house that's throwing shit together.
But we can take that one step further. And you're absolutely right. I mean, especially again in the 21st century. You know, where it's a lot easier to publish works, which is, again, double-edged sword. It's a wonderful thing. But then you also have to be, just like we talked about on another episode, you know, with the classes that are out there, you have to be very diligent about, you know, then who are you looking to get that information from? And are, you know, is this person somebody that you feel is a worthy source
right.
or not?
Like how people use Wikipedia. It's like anybody can go in there and edit that shit. So mm-hmm. can Wikipedia be considered a verified source? Not
real
really.
Quick. Well, actually, yes. Like, and I can, they actually like check, they make you prove it. So Wikipedia is, again, yes, it can be edited, but like you can get banned for off their website for putting bad information on there. But real quick, just for anybody listening right now, we're on a tight schedule today. We're going to be wrapping up in about 15, 20 minutes. So if you have any questions,
No. When I said five, that's five my time.
Never mind. I'm just talking.
Well, back to the whole thing. Yeah, we wrote our books. We were not telling you they are the end all must be in stone information.
I think we said that also, several times, like every other page.
Yeah, we're like, this is too, just.
But real quick, in addition, if you get our books, scroll to the back. What's back there?
The bibliography and the cited sources and references.
We got sources. Right, like exactly. we could tell you where we got our information from, and when it is personal information, we tell you that.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. We don't say. That's what we do. We're like, okay, yeah, we got this, and we tweaked it, and we turned it this way and that way after 20 some years. So this is it. But we also let you know, you know, hey, there's more information. If you want to learn more, go find the information we got it from.
Exactly.
So the stuff that you referred to, you know, the stuff that's happening in this day and age, you know, with these quote unquote questionable authors. And I put that in quotes because some people may think that they're, you know, just the bee's knees.
Yep.
There, see, I did use it. But let's also talk about older literature, you know. So I think a really popular one that everybody would probably relate to is the Bible. You know, the so-called book that has been around for over 2,000 years. To some people, that is hardcore VPG. But then let's delve deeper. Is it really? Because that's a translation that is one of many different translations that has
that
been
is,
rewritten and rewritten and rewritten and reinterpreted.
Exactly. Right. And when you get into the whole language thing again, language changes meanings all the time.
Yeah.
It's been, and if you and the books that are in that book were written by people's personal points of view, not right. from the source themselves. And there's right. still half a billion things that didn't even make it into that book.
Right.
And it's texts like that that I truly feel, and that's why I feel it's more applicable to religions and those types of things, that it really is more written by the victors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that aspect, yeah. it absolutely is. Because, I mean, the big top guys who were important, their points of view, their thoughts, their information got put in it. Because there's like...
Plus not to mention the early fucking Christians burned down the Library of Alexandria, and we lost all that science, all that information.
Yeah.
All that beautiful information, you know, before they decided to storm the world.
Right?
They estimate that by doing that, they set us back 1,000 years in science.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah.
We could have had a lot of shit.
Or they didn't, it's not just that they destroyed it, but they also wrote things for other beliefs and other cultures based on their perspective. So mm-hmm. take the Eddas, for example. We were talking about the Eddas.
They were written by a monk.
Yes.
They were written by a monk who sat there and observed and watched how the heathen cultures acted and lived and were. So it wasn't from our point. It was from a monk's point. That's why you've got all these, that's how you got the name heathen.
And you want to know something? All of that leads me to just further stress how important unverified personal gnosis is, because you can't trust everybody who's telling you and teaching you things, because they might not know, or they might be trying to manipulate what you think. You don't know.
Exactly.
Or maybe somebody manipulated what they think. Like, you mm-hmm. never know. So unverified personal gnosis is going to be very important to your practice.
From yourself. But again, going back to just knowing and recognizing your sources. You know, if you are using somebody else's unverified personal gnosis as your source, for your beliefs, you know, I'm going to question that and challenge you on that, unless you yourself have had your own experiences that validate that to yourself. But as equally, that's the same as if you're just going to repeat to me back what a book from the 1800s says and just take that as fact and word. You know, that's equally challenging, you know,
you
so
know what? I have a little bit of advice too,
but let me just finish my point there. Just wrap it up. It's important to recognize the source, which is why we're talking about the UPG versus VPG. But then at the end of the day, it's about what did you discover in your research and what did you discover? Sorry, go ahead, Hestia.
I was just going to say that another thing that is, when we're splitting hairs over what makes something verified or what information you take as valid, this is coming from somebody who typically doesn't like many people. Most people I'm not going to like on a personal level. I'm a loner. I like my own company. I don't want to be your friend. It's nothing personal. So most people irritate me just naturally, and they don't do it on purpose. It's not anything like that. I just don't want to hear you talk. So with that said, also, there are a lot of people who I don't really care for on a personal level who have really good information. Don't ignore in good information just because you don't like the source.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really good point.
That's a very first, very fair statement.
It is. I find it fair.
And I think, again, it goes back to how, you know, your approach on how you approach. I mean, you know, we've said this, we've each said this in our own special ways, you know, that we all walk our own path. We all have, this is just in general, it's a very personal path that we walk, regardless of what you call it. It's a very personal path. And so, we can take the same piece of literature and interpret it differently,
mm-hmm.
and be looking at the same thing. So, and again, maybe we're interpreting it wrong. Maybe we're interpreting it right. Maybe we're simply just interpreting a different way that resonates with us.
Right.
But the point being is that, you know, you're walking your own path, and I think it's important to recognize where these sources are coming from. But at the end of the day, again, and I know I've already said this, but at the end of the day, it's about what you do with that information, but also making sure that you're just not taking it blindly. And that just because, you know, everybody else says that this is how it is, you know, if that doesn't ring true for you, it's not true for you.
Right.
We walk our own path and we speak our own truths.
Yeah.
But if you have any respect for people on any level, then you should at the very least, for that little bit of respect, open it up by saying, this is what I believe.
Exactly. And if you're on the other end of that, if you're on the receiving end of hearing somebody's personal gnosis, and it's, I know that there's people that will hear somebody telling a story and they just instantly start saying in their, whether out loud or in their own mind, that they disagree, this is wrong, this is that. Keep in mind that it's a sign of high intelligence to be able to entertain an idea without automatically believing it to be fact. So
exactly,
listen to what they're saying, get all of the information before you start trying to determine if you think something, because just remember, as soon as you form your thought on that, the other person already thinks the opposite of you. So who's right? You're not going to know.
Exactly.
But again, it's a sign of intelligence to be able to entertain a thought, whether, even if you know it's fake, even if the person tells you this is hypothetical, it's just like, can you listen? Can you entertain a thought?
Right, exactly. And be like, okay, well, yeah, I see your point. I don't entirely agree, but I see your point. Like, and just like don't argue, like, oh, you're wrong, or that's stupid, or that's not how it goes, or no, you have to listen to me, because
And say everybody practices differently, you know, right? And that is just as close-minded.
I'd have been like, I know, I'm telling you how I do it, bitch, listen.
and you know what, that brings me to another thing, which is I agree. You don't want to approach things, no matter how you feel, you know, and automatically attack the other person. You're wrong. Unless you're talking about something really concrete, like a definition in the Webster's Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, other than that, or, you know, other than things like that, you know, you don't want to come at somebody aggressively or argue. However, there is such thing as debate. Debate is not a bad word.
No.
Does not have to turn ugly. In fact, that's how we truly, I personally feel, that's one way to truly learn about something and for both people to walk away perhaps with some new information that both can grow from is having a healthy debate about something, so that, to Hestia's point, to open yourself up to the other person's perspective, and perhaps you both then walk away with new information that can only strengthen, you know, your personal path.
Personally don't understand how somebody, even if it is based on your own personal gnosis, how can you accept that as true if you've never challenged it, questioned it, looked further into it, considered other things? And that goes not just for your practice and metaphysical experiences. It's things like religion and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, you didn't even consider anything else. Mm-hmm. This is just what you've been told is right. And you accepted that, and you didn't question it, and you didn't look into it, and you didn't do nothing. Now look at you. You've been a Catholic for 48 years and you hate it. And you know, you kind of only there 'cause you're scared to not be. And it's just 'cause you don't know.
Right.
That's why we're constantly telling you, just read the books that aren't pushed on you. Yeah, because even in the magical world, when I first came in, of course, just like I'm pretty sure everybody else who gets shoved in your face first and foremost, fucking Cunningham.
Scott Cunningham.
Fucking Cunningham immediately. It's like, I'm into witchcraft. Here's 75 Cunningham books. Like, goddamn. And you know, and I don't use a single one of his books today. I have them, but I haven't touched them. Yeah, they're just
I have like one, but
yeah, I only have one left. I have the herbal one left, and that's it. And I'm just like, I don't even use that one.
I still use some of his books. I don't use a lot of them, but I probably use like two of them.
And here's the thing, I'm not downplaying his information. It's just I don't need it.
No, but here's the thing to expand on that is that it's because I understand where he is coming from. He is coming from a Wiccan perspective. Mm-hmm. He is coming from a very particular frame of reference. And so when I look to his materials, I understand that I'm looking at that material from that frame of reference. And therefore, he is never, and I mean never, the sole source. When I say I use him, he is not my sole source. I then go to other sources if I want to see the entire picture, because he's going to give me the perspective from one side.
His book was my, I like that. Let me go find more books on that topic real quick.
Right, exactly. And even like finding those other points of view and seeing how like other people, like even if they disagree with you, like just hearing their perspective on it, it's like, oh, I never thought of it that way, but I like that. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Well, it's like, you know, I had never met a true hereditary witch. We had a few, you know, that claim to be, but
made that claim.
Who made that claim? And then like
the one with 75 conflicting titles.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You know, if it's a billion, but then like when I met Jason, I was like, oh, I need to know more. I want to know. Like, so you know, when I first met him, I was asking lots of questions and you know, wanted to know more. And like, you know, like we all have different practices. So like I like to ask questions and want to know about what you think and what you're thinking and what you're doing. Versus what I'm doing,
especially
exactly,
and actually that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up because you know, even Jason, he'll be the first to tell you, this is what my family has done, this is what we believe, but he doesn't say that this is the word.
No,
exactly. My family did, because we know enough to know that those that have carried on the traditions within their families establish their own personal traditions that are literally different from family to family, let alone culture to culture.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just so fun. Like when Bella introduced me and I was like, I have so many questions. And I enjoyed asking them because, you know, you were the first true hereditary witch, because like, you know, we didn't have the one who had 1,000 multiple conflicting things, and then she would backpedal and stuff. So I was like, no.
Oh, she just lied. Just say it. It
wasn't real. Okay, she was a bold-faced liar.
Right. Yeah. I know. Going back to like my video on like hereditary, on what a hereditary witch is. It's like I believe you don't necessarily have to be from an unbroken line of witches to be hereditary. Like you can come from a broken line but you get those people who it really irritates me when like people like have the surname of Laveau, or like they say that they're I'm a descendant of Marie Laveau. It's like, no, you're not. Like, well, I mean
you could be, but what does that mean?
But yeah. I actually
is that like, one no, of the claims but, that we heard.
Well, because I met the descendants of Marie Laveau. Like, I don't like know them personally, but they run Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the French Quarter, and they're like in magazines and blogs and stuff like that. And I guess like that immediate family are like the only living relatives of are direct descendants of Marie Laveau, and the family name isn't even Laveau anymore, it's Rayner.
I mean, it could be, you know, that perhaps, you know, it's like way back in your ancestry.com, you know, that you have that link, and that's, you know, that's all, all well and good. It's neither a good thing or a bad thing, but what does that mean? Like just saying that.
I actually find it really corny when people pick an already standing name from witchcraft. Like, I'm going to call myself Lisa Cunningham or Tina, you know, Tina Gardner or whatever, just random. Oh, you know what? I know what I just did. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I ain't sorry. Fuck you, Lisa Cunningham. Anyway. My bad. It took me a minute.
Because that is funny. An actual author name out there right now.
Yeah. It's one of them. It's one of the Mary Silva ass authors. But I just find it corny. Like, if you think about it like this, if you're going to, like, because there's traditions where you're given your name. So if you're of your own practice and you're choosing your name, don't be a cornball and pick Cunningham, please. It's played out and it's weird. Right. It's very weird.
Like, what I was actually referencing was
my name is Freya Cunningham.
Right. there was that one chick that you guys wanted me to talk to in a meetup like a year back who was claiming to be a hereditary, and she was like, I'm like, she had like that hyphenated last name, like Laveau Morningstar. And it's like,
I don't. Yeah, I think I vaguely remember that.
I don't remember the morning.
She was just discovering her roots and such. I wasn't really offended by her because she was very open about it. She was like, "This is what I found out." But
I don't think we're talking about the same one. The one I was it was the one who sounded very much like Sabrina, like the Netflix Sabrina.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that person then.
Oh, not significant.
Yeah.
So, when I was looking into this subject, another article came up, and the headline of the article was differentiating personal gnosis from delusions. And I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. I haven't really thought about it too much personally, but I think where I stand on it, just based off just the headline, I think it kind of goes back to us talking in previous episodes about knowing the difference between gifts and like paranoia, schizophrenia, so on and so forth. I think it's just about knowing yourself and going to professionals when you need it, so on and so forth. What do you guys think?
Going back to that, there are people who I feel do have a genuine gift, but they think that they're crazy. Like if someone has the ability to perceives the subtle body or perceive spirits, and they're like, oh my God, I'm going crazy. And they go to a psychiatrist who says, yes, you are in fact going crazy. I'm diagnosing you with stress-induced hallucinations. Here's a bunch of medication that'll suppress it. But but going back to like personal gnosis versus delusion, like when I think about that, I think of like someone who's like, oh, God is really a giant spaghetti monster. I know this because an archangel who was also an alien came to me in the middle of the night. Like, or like, like a Joseph Smith who wrote the Book of Mormon, how like he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Throw a hat.
You know, again, I think it goes back to, you know, personal gnosis is just that, personal. At the same time, especially because of the fad, we see a lot of that, you know, where you have to, I shouldn't say you have to, but one tends to be like, the fuck are you smoking?
Right?
But at the same time, you don't want to be rude and be, and you know, do the whole, well, you're just wrong. But, you know, there are some pretty out there things. Right. And, you know, the only thing that I have to say about that is where it goes back to, look, you do you, okay? Just right. Please do not talk about this as if this is fact, okay?
Right.
It's fact right. for you. Let's just leave it at that.
Exactly. Like, I have some pretty, well, they're not really my theories, they're more my father's, but they're kind of fantastical and a little outrageous, but there are some of them that I do put some stock into because it does make sense to me, and I know that it will not make sense to everybody, to, like, everybody else.
Yeah.
And not everybody would agree with it.
And also, as witches or practitioners or whatever label you want to give yourself, guess what? There's nothing wrong with having secret knowledge. You don't have to share every fucking thing you know.
No. Exactly. Exactly.
No, because there's a lot of shit that I choose not to share. Bella, Jason, Hestia, she's got enough. She chooses not to share.
Oh, I'm very open about the fact that I don't share a lot of stuff that's traditional to my path.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Right. I'm not going to do it.
But it's not just the practice. It's also beliefs. You know, I mean, there's some things that, and to me, it's about maturity as well. You know?
Yes.
So, and I'm not meaning for this to come across as me trying to insult somebody. But, you know, the part of the witch's pyramid to be silent, you know, that exists for multiple reasons. And there's multiple interpretations of what that means. Right. Some newer, some older. But generally speaking, you know, when people apply the concept of to be silent, of not sharing everything with everybody, there's multiple reasons for that. And some of that are mundane human reasons, you know, right. Regardless of how strongly you feel about something, like the word that Jason used, fantastical, no matter how much you believe it to be true, some people, and depending on who your audience is, that can have a negative impact on you if you openly share a fantastical experience or an idea. And exactly. So when people openly share and openly share it on social media, and then they will outright get attacked for it. Sometimes they will be made fun of for it.
And then they'll get butt hurt for getting attacked or made fun of for it.
But that's the thing is
you can also be physically harmed.
Yeah. So the question is, to me, it's like if you feel that there is a need to share so openly, I'm not saying don't, and I'm not saying that you're wrong. What I'm saying, what I'm going to say is, will you please ask yourself why first? Why do you feel that need that a bunch of strangers need to know that you are in a love triangle with Loki and Anubis?
Right, like I think that kind of goes into the art of necessity and hermeticism too, where it's like only provide like the information that's necessary at the time, because some information is not necessary or is not meant for some people to hear, and they can take it and use it in a really really bad way.
Yeah.
See, another thing too, and I see this a lot with people talking about free speech. Yeah, you can feel free to share whatever you want, but guess what? Everybody else has that same right.
Mm-hmm.
That means they can react to what you're saying and tell you you're wrong and share their opposing opinions and stuff. And that's where people start having a problem. It's like, okay, again, just like when you present something as fact and it's personal gnosis, it's the same thing as when you state something that's opinion as fact and you don't like when somebody calls you on it. Well, shut the fuck up then. Why are you talking to them?
Right.
So the response that I tend to see a lot is, I thought this was a safe space. I thought we're supposed to be able to share whatever. I'm like,
for just
okay.
You?
Yeah, but again, I go back to that question. Why do you feel like you need this safe space to share that information? What did it do for you?
Because they know it's problematic. That's why.
Or because they want attention or validation or.
And that's my point is, you know, really look into yourself and try to answer. You don't have to answer to anybody but yourself.
Right, but exactly.
Ask yourself that question. Why?
Until you start talking to other people.
And
you don't have to answer to nobody on your own shit until you start talking to them about it. Because then you have to listen to them like they have to listen to you. It's only fair.
And most of those people that are pull that I thought this was a safe space card are most of the time, I personally have noticed, they're the ones who will be jumping on someone else and calling them out and calling them this and that and telling them that their stuff is wrong. But when someone says something to them, they're the ones who are like, oh, but I thought this was a safe space. I was like, but
everybody practices differently. I don't want to hear
if I'm there, it's not a safe space. How about that? If I'm there, it's not a safe space because I'm going to react. How about that?
Yeah.
Love it.
Don't talk to me about your dumbass shit. I'm kidding. But no, it's just something to remember. Like, yes, you have freedom of speech if you live somewhere that has freedom of speech. But like I said, if you're going to open yourself up and you're going to put yourself out there, other people have the same rights you do. And
exactly.
Get mad if you want to, but that's how that goes. That's life.
Yeah.
Yep.
But like, I don't get, like, if somebody wants to present something that's really fantastical and people like want to call bullshit on it and then you get mad, it's like, I feel like if that's what you truly believe is true, then why are you getting mad if someone disagrees with you?
Yeah, but again, like, I always go back to the why are you sharing it? What is your point? Do you have a question, or did you just want to say it because you want to look cool?
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
You hit it right there.
Yeah.
They just want to look cool, attention seeking.
Yeah. And that's a problem for me. Because you got attention. You got the attention. It's just the attention the kind of attention you weren't looking for.
Right. Like,
because not everybody is going to be a 15-year-old trendite going, oh my God, you're so cool. You're dating Anubis and Loki.
Wow. Right. Exactly.
Some of us are going to be, really? Okay, you do you, boo. But can we talk about something else before
and
I
then,
say
even
what I
further,
do?
Even further, others of us, namely me, I'm just going to block you and act like you didn't exist.
Easy. Like, yes, I love it.
Enjoy your three-way. Bye.
Right.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, some of these examples... Sometimes I pull it out of my ass as just random examples, but
sometimes I don't know.
Unfortunately, this is a real example I'm using right now.
I'm sorry, what?
Actually, this is a current example. From
whoever you are, I hope you hear this because I'm judging the hell out of you.
Yes, a lot of the examples we do talk about, at least Bella and Jason.
Yeah, a lot of them actually happened.
Right? Like, there's stuff people actually said.
And again, I'm not going to say that it's not happening. Okay?
The likelihood. I question it.
Right.
Yeah. The likelihood, based on what I have learned to date, it leaves me wondering. But when the person continues to talk about it, as fact is when you start rubbing me the wrong way, you say whatever you want. Just like Jason said, you know, if you want to believe that the Lord on high is a flying spaghetti monster, dude, you go for it and you wash yourself in ragu sauce all day long.
Oh my God.
Exactly. if that's what tickles your pickle, then yeah, you do you.
but when you start pushing that, and when you start saying like this is fact, and correcting others, and you know, and then going on and on and on about it, then all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
Then I am going to interject. because, right. you know.
Yep, it's like, well, those who don't believe that the Lord up high is a flying spaghetti monster is blind and ignorant, and they're just stupid. They don't know the truth. And this is my truth, and this is the truth that you have to believe, because it's the truth.
Or that yes. vortex shit that I was telling you about a couple, few weeks ago with my in one of my in-laws. That Abraham Hicks lady. They're not in the vortex, so they're not important to you, and you need to, like, detach from them since they're not in your vortex.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I'm still confused about that. Like, what does she mean? Vortex.
I don't know. I have yet to want to fully go down the rabbit hole. I just know she is a cracked out, money hungry fucking scam artist.
Like I said before, when you brought that up, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with that. You know, again, that is a common theme in many spiritual traditions and occult traditions. You know, like I mentioned before, you know, that is common in heathenry. You know, mm-hmm. if you surround yourself with somebody that that will enhance and align with your weird, that will not mess up your weird, you know, that is heathen tradition teachings in many of the traditions, you know, it goes back to the basic thing of, you know, just watch who you roll with, you know,
right.
It's like,
yeah,
don't hang around those riffraffs. You know, it's that whole type of thing. So I get what they're saying. It's just, you know, again, it's just the latest catchphrase of the day. You're vortex. So mm-hmm. she's special. She's spiritual.
Oh, apparently she channels the prophet Abraham. So,
like, oh my God, it's
I'm afraid to, but I've got another podcast I need to listen to that my sister-in-law sent me the other day. That sounds interesting.
That's going to explain the vortex?
No, it's about using hallucinogens in the Catholic Eucharist.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, so, but anyways.
Like they do that?
I don't know.
What?
Did they do that when we were in church? I don't remember
what
that.
What church? Enough. What's the address?
Made Catholicism sound fun.
Do you remember having hallucinations taking
where are you going? Yeah, I'm going.
Wait a minute. Like, why the fuck I gotta eat these dry ass crackers and you got shrooms?
Right? Dude, for real.
Bitch, we gonna fight.
Why wasn't it out when I was a Catholic? I would have been here all the time.
Every day.
I got grape juice and a shitty cracker, and they're back there dropping acid. Cool.
I'd lose my license because they'd like find all this shit, and I'd be like, all I did was have communion.
I just heard, right. dude.
Why are you yelling?
That's like, kind of reminds me of those, like, those one Christians with the snakes.
Oh, God, yes.
Isn't that Pentecostal? Is that Pentecostal?
Yeah, I think so.
The ones where they stick the snake, they stick a snake in your face, and if it bites you, you're evil or something like that.
Yeah, you're a demon.
Right.
Yo, wouldn't you hate to be the last person in line? Like, that snake is pissed. Of course I'm the devil, bitch.
Oh, is that how it works? I thought that they would, like, inject themselves with the snake venom or let the snakes bite them so they would get the venom.
They would, like, do something to where you're around the snake, and if it does bite you, you're evil.
Well, it's not just one snake. Like, they, yeah. you know, they dance, they always have a snake, they all play with it, and they're, you know, it's somewhere up in the Appalachians, isn't it?
I think it's Northwest Virginia. Yeah, I know there's something. Mm. We actually had one of those tent revival things, and I think it had part of it because I saw the thing had snakes on it and shit. I was like, can we please take that away, that sign away from my neighborhood down? Please. I would do not want anybody to know that there's a crazy tent revival down the road from here.
Yeah, I guess my challenge now is one of us need to go to a Pentecostal church snake tent and be like, who shared personal gnosis is this? Who found the snake?
Okay, well, it looks like we have to break out in groups. because two of us have to go find the psychedelic communion.
Yes. I'm gonna go find the psychedelics. Oh. Me and Brandy can go find the psychedelics.
We will.
One of y'all get to deal with the snake people because I'm not dealing with them. Because I'm not.
You, Jason and Bella, you go find the snakes. Me and Hestia, we're gonna go find the hallucinogens. See which one's better.
I got a nose for sniffing out things.
Anyway, are you allowed?
You're not gonna.
Are
go
you allowed to hold on to the snake, like you know, where they can't bite you, and then dance, and then like.
Like
that,
grab it behind like, its head.
Is that cheating? Is that cheating?
Yeah, because like, I think they hold it by the tail and they like hold it in front of you, and if it tries to bite you, you're like you got demons or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like I said though, okay, this is my thing, right? Because like I've never been to one of these churches, but just from like the little snippets I've seen of these things, their church might have 300 people in it, and it's two snakes. It's like, dude,
these are angry.
By the time it gets, yeah, like the last 20% of your church is all demons. All demons. They're all fucking demons.
They have just had it with you throwing it.
It's been in 750 people's faces. Of course it wants to bite people. It hates everyone right now.
I'm surprised it didn't kill you in your sleep.
Yeah, hell yeah. Sweet.
But anyways.
But yes, whose personal gnosis was that one?
Right?
Somebody who got bit by a snake. Anywho, what else we got on this subject, or do we have anything else on this subject?
I think we beat it to a pulp.
I think we did as well.
We got
once we start dragging religion through the mud, we're pretty much done with that day's topic.
Right.
And how we always know, like, oh shit, we're dragging Christianity again. It's time to wrap up.
We gotta
go. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. But I think so,
in love and light, may Christ be with you. Bye. No, I'm kidding.
Peace be with you all.
Is there like a reverse exorcism we can do with her?
She's like, put some demons in that bitch right there. Hey, snake dude.
The power
of
Satan compels you. The power of Satan compels you.
With the glass Perrier bottle.
Yeah, somebody's going to get us kicked off YouTube. Like, they're Satanists.
Oh, like, like that one day.
Nothing wrong with being Satanist, people. Do your research.
Right. There is nothing wrong with it. What was that one bitch? I can't even remember her name now. Turquoise Diva.
He just right out and said it.
He's like, I'm just going to say the bitch's name.
Allow me. Deborah. If you've been here for a while, you'll know. If you're new here, go watch. I think it was last season. we got a little messy last season.
She reminded me of that, like,
every season.
She kind of reminded me of that, like, QAnon Congresswoman Karen, who was saying that, like, wildfires were started by, like, Jewish space lasers.
Oh my gosh, I know who you're talking about. She's like in the House of Representatives now. She's like in our government.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Very terrifying. That's a whole nother discussion.
Right.
Yeah. So on that note, we'll just scare everybody. The world is doomed.
Yeah. I promise our exit will not be me saying in love and light may Christ be with you.
So again, in summary, understand who you're speaking with, where they're coming from, where your information is coming from, what are the sources. Are the personal gnosis, unverified personal gnosis, are they verified personal gnosis? Regardless of what it is, make your own decisions, do your own research, expand, broaden your research base, and come to your own conclusions and find your own truth.
Yep, and don't be afraid to look at different perspectives and listen to other people's perspectives.
Bingo.
And just because someone else's perspective is not the same as yours does not necessarily mean that they're wrong.
Even if they're dating Loki and Anubis. Sorry. Look out for more videos through the week. Next up is Jason for his Wednesday video, but some others might come out. Maybe.
Possibly.
Yes.
So